Hello, this is Pastor Nate Scharf from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Ulm, Minnesota. You're here with Invisible Church, our podcast of our Bible classes. We will be studying together Paul's letter to the Galatians and focusing on the theme, freedom in Christ. May God richly bless our study of his word together. All right, we're back on. We're at Galatians 3, verse 6. Which says, so also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, making the point that Abraham was a by faith person and not a by law person. Who has Genesis 15, verse 6? Who would like to read that for us? Genesis 15, verse 6. Please. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. Wasn't what Abram did. But this faith, this conduit through which he received this righteousness. Romans 4, verse 3.
Same thing.
What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then it goes on. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. You know, and David says the same thing when he talks about the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Yeah. So what did Abraham believe? That he could do it? That God would do what?
That God was his all in all.
God was his all in all, as the song says. And that God was going to send a
Savior.
God was going to deliver on all the promises he made to Abraham, make him into a great nation. Just all these wonderful blessings. Egoliste auto, egoliste logizomai. You know, this accounting term. It was credited to him. You move the balance. You know, wouldn't that be fun to have access to bank accounts? You know, and just kind of say, well, I'll move this sum over to my sum. You know, who credited him with righteousness?
God did.
Yeah, not Abraham earning his own righteousness, but it was credited to him. It was from outside of him. It was this forensic thing, as we say. The Judaizers were trying to take the Christians in Galatia backwards or forwards to align them with the Old Testament laws and the patriarchs. They were trying to take them which way?
Backwards.
Where does Paul take them? Well, forward, but by going which way?
Back to Abraham.
See, they were thinking, you know, the Mosaic law, the, you know, if really any kind of law, but especially for the Judaizers, the Mosaic law, you know, best captured in the thought of circumcision. You know, if you were a circumcision, you were a son of the law. Where does Paul take them? He takes them to Abraham, who is not by law, but by faith. How was Abraham justified?
By faith
in the promise. How were the Galatians justified? By faith in the promise. How are we justified?
By faith.
As Scripture says, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3, verse 7. Let's read this together. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Not those who are circumcised. Not those who keep the law. But those who have faith are children of Abraham. Are you descended from Abraham?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Because of your lineage? What's in your blood? Did you go get the holiday special DNA test? Find out you have ancestors who are a little bit from Ur of the Chaldeans, and, you know, you're about 10%, you know. No, it's by faith. By faith we have this. Matthew 3, verse 7 to 10. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the foot of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. They didn't need a Savior, did they? They had their works. But John the Baptist confronts them, calls them a brood of vipers, seeks them to repentance for the forgiveness of sins, God can raise up children for Abraham out of the stones. Right? And what has he done with us? Hearts stone cold in unbelief. And he has raised up children for Abraham. Not from his lineage. I mean, literally, he could raise them up from stones. But for us, we're happy to be there. Romans 4, verse 9. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? Yeah, it was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Either way, it is by faith. Who are the real children of Abraham? By faith or by works? By faith. All right. Galatians 3, verse 8. Let's read this together. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. Not just Israel, but all nations. What is a quality of Scripture that you learn here?
It's for everybody.
It's for all. It's
reliable.
Yep. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. It's reliable from start to finish. God's word stands, and it really is a unit. It all fits together. And Paul makes these arguments by going back to God's word. This is the legitimate gospel. You know, Paul's an apostle. No one added to his message. He didn't get his message secondhand. This is what the Bible says. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hebrews 4, verse 12. What's that one? Who's got that? Hebrews 4, verse 12. You'll know it once I start in. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. What truths do we understand from the phrase, all nations will be blessed through you? Who is this for?
All nations.
When we talk about baptism, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All nations will be blessed through you. How would they be blessed through Abraham? Yeah, through him, the Savior would come. All nations. Who would be a Savior for? All nations, yeah. What scriptures are these, Old Testament or New Testament, that Paul is quoting? He's going back to the Old Testament. Is it, you know, when you were in grade school maybe, you know, where do you find law and gospel? Well, the Old Testament is law and the New Testament is God. No. You got law and gospel in both, and some would even say that pound for pound, you know, the breadth of the Old Testament, you have more gospel passages in the Old Testament than you do in the New. But we think Jesus, New Testament, so therefore gospel. Too many Christians today see the New Testament as a new law for Christians. This passage makes it clear there's only one way of salvation, and it has always been this way, through Christ alone, by faith alone, based on Scripture alone. Okay, Galatians 3, verse 9, let's read this together. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. I mean, Paul is really laying it out here. This is not by works. This is by faith. This is by God's gift. So the by faith people are the same as Abraham. Even though the Jews who are saying we follow the Mosaic law were claiming Abraham as a proponent of the law. If Abraham was justified by faith, what purpose did circumcision have? It served as a sign, yeah, and a seal of what he already had by faith. This was a mark of the promise. How blessed are you to comprehend this by faith? Eternally. eternally blessed. Yeah. There's no other way. When you lay your head down on the pillow at night and your sins accuse you, what can you think of? Yeah, thank you, God. You have forgiven my sins in Christ, fully and freely. When you have trouble with something going on in your life, whether it's health or family or financial or whatever it might be, or just being down, what can you remember? Yeah, God's word. What was it? Francis Pieper? I think Pastor Smith quoted this in one of his devotions. You know, we have a remedy for whenever we are down, you know, to break out and sing, you know, now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Oh, may this help. Yeah. We have reason to sing. God continues to pour out this blessing on us, and we are saved by faith. Our salvation is sure. It's guaranteed. It's ours. The whole doctrine of election just pounds it home to us. You were chosen before the creation of the world. You know, now we can live in this freedom and this forgiveness. Galatians 3, verse 10. So Paul says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And then verse 10, he says together, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. What does it mean to be under a curse?
There's no hope. You're tied.
Yeah. You have no control over it. You can't lift it. You're done. Continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Do everything continually. We could sum that up with one word. Perfect. Do everything continually. Try your best. Not good enough. 99%? Not good enough. 6 days a week, take a day off? Not good enough. 23 hours a day? Not good enough. You'd have a great day, but it's wrecked when you sin once. James 2, verse 10, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just 15 points. 15? One point is guilty of breaking all of it. You know, you think of other religions. Where do their doctrines come from? From the clear word of God, or from something, or someone bewitched, or a demon, or their own thoughts? What is their way to salvation always? They do. You do. You know, it might be a lighter version, like try really hard, God will do the rest. You know, but sometimes it's, you know, do your best, God may love you. You know, what did the prophets of Baal do on Mount Carmel? Yeah, cried out to him, cut themselves, let their blood flow. And what did Baal do for them?
All
nothing.
He could.
Three and a half, all he could. Nothing. 3.5 years, 3.5 years, the storm god was silent because he is no god at all. Isaiah, what in the world? God says, you cut down a tree, half of it you use for what? Throw in the fire. Or, you know, cook your food over it. The other half, you carve into something, probably not something always nice, and you bow down and worship that. You know, there are only two ways to be justified before God, not many roads to heaven. And one of these leaves a person cursed if he tries it. Is that the by faith one or the by law one?
By law.
By law. If you're trying to be justified by the law, you are under God's curse. 3 verse 11. Let's read this together. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. These are axiomatic statements. And to be axiomatic, we're saying it's self-evident. It's unquestionable. This is how it is. And how is it? No one is justified by law. We're talking about a courtroom scene. Who or what do you walk into that courtroom with? You can only choose one. Do you choose the pile of your works, your big bag? And let me tell you, it's not a white bag. Right? Clean and pure. No, it's a sullied and soiled bag. But yet that's your best effort. You know, whether you're Nate or you know, the Pope or someone awful or whatever, you know, insert the name Mother Teresa, you're only saved one way. Now, do you take your works in there or do you take Jesus' hand into that courtroom? You can't take both, right? The devil would like us to believe, well, you got to take both, right? Because part of it is you. And how many Christians have been led to despair because of that or died in hopelessness, unsure of their salvation? You know, there's one way. The righteous will live by faith. Righteous, you know, you got this courtroom scene, acquitted, you are not guilty. To live, what kind of life are we talking about? The righteous will live by faith. When you look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, not a pretty scene. God, why would you allow these heathen to come in and destroy your people? You know, we're not talking about just physical life or a sanctified life or even being acquitted here. We're talking about eternal life. The righteous will live by faith. You know, many people are going to die here, but the righteous will live, truly live. So it is either by works or by faith. They are mutually exclusive. They cannot be together. When faith works, make no mistake, when we talk about sanctification, but when we talk about how we're saved, how we're right with God, it's faith or works. And we know it's by faith. All right, Galatians 3, verse 12. Let's read this together. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. So mutually exclusive. The law is not based on faith. You know, is Paul being clear with us? Is he beating a dead horse?
He's repetitive.
You know, he's beating us, right? He's beating that sinful nature in us. No, this isn't how it works. No, this isn't how it works. Do sometimes we need to be reminded of this that many times? You know, always. This isn't how it works. This isn't how it works. You know, Pastor Paul is counseling all of us as our sinful nature pushes us to be justified by the law or to find our comfort in our performance or find despair in our lack of performance, even if it's just a little thing that we think. Meanwhile, we're sinning in tons of other ways that we don't even realize. But he says, no, this isn't, the law is not based on faith. What does the law say? What does that passage say? Verse 12. The person who does these things will live by them. A lot of present tenses, you know, an axiomatic statement. This is how it is. Habakkuk was not talking about the law. You know, they were getting the law of God in a big way, in the condemnation, in the punishment, in the chastisement. Leviticus 18, verse 5, speaking of the Mosaic laws, keep my decrees and laws, for the person who obeys them will live by them. I am the Lord. You saw a lot of people trying in the Old Testament, but God demands perfection. Who in the Old Testament did it perfectly? Think of a patriarch. Adam. What'd he do?
Until he sinned, he did.
He was doing well for a while, right? George, my son George asked me, Lord, you know, not Lord, oh goodness. You know, Dad, how long did they live in the garden before they sinned? We don't know. Pastor Smith might have a good guess. But I don't know. You know? I don't know. I mean, he probably would have some, you know, something that... Yeah, but he doesn't either. But it would give me pause. I go, you know? But yeah, we don't know. But finally, we know what we know now. Right? What life is like now. What did Adam do? You know, he took of the fruit. He didn't stop his wife. He didn't help her. He didn't, you know, we can name a bunch of sins there. Noah.
Got drunk at least once,
yeah. Would you blame him after being with all the animals and how long for that long, you know? I mean, we find excuses for everything, right? You know, I mean, we can, you know, like, you know what? I could, you know, David, what did he do? Yeah, he counted the fighting men. You know, arrogance, you know, pride, you know, Bathsheba, you know, orchestrated someone's death. Solomon. Why is this man alive? But then what does he do? Yeah, 1,000 women, you know? Oh, man, who else? Jacob.
He may have been wise, not just too smart.
Yeah, wise, but not too smart. Well said, Elaine. I wouldn't say that to Solomon's face necessarily, but because I'm sure the comeback would be equally as, or maybe he'd say, no, you're right. All of them, you know, they're, the person who obeys will live by them. I am the Lord. No one got it right, except for Jesus. Anything law is not faith. What is the only way you could be sure of your salvation? Yeah, by faith in Christ, by what Christ has done. Just here, Galatians 3, verse 13. Let's say it together. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. So we were cursed because of the law, right? Ex agoreisin. If you look at the words there, ex or out of, agora, agora. What was the agora? Agora. How are you saying? It was the marketplace. He bought us out, like out of the marketplace. That's the idea of redemption or ransom. Who did Christ pay? God, not the devil, right? Medieval heresy for many, many years that, you know, God was paying the devil, or he had to pay the devil. No, the devil is in hell and he's a dog on a chain. He doesn't have control over us. But Christ paid for us. What was the curse?
Damnation.
Damnation. What cursed us?
Sin.
Sin. Yeah, the power of, you know, power of law is sin. Power of sin is the law. Who went under the curse for us?
Jesus.
Yeah, who is he?
Savior.
The Savior, the Son of God. Yeah, I tell the confirmation kids, you know, I if I gave my life for you, you know, I don't think God would accept that. For eternity, right? You know, one sinner for another? No. But when the Son of God dies for us, when his life is in the balance, then our side goes up and we are saved. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19 to 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Right? Galatians 3, verse 13, be it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on wood or a pole or wood or a tree or across. Deuteronomy 21. If someone guilty of a capital offense is put to death and their body is exposed on a pole, you must not leave the body hanging on the pole overnight. Be sure to bury it that same day, because anyone who is hung on a pole or a tree is under God's curse. You must not desecrate the land the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. You know? Who would have been thinking when they heard that as the law is being read a second time? You know, what is it, Moses is about to die or is dying, that this was foretelling how the Savior would save them. You know, Isaiah got a lot more graphic, right? You know, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. God's word stands. You know, Paul continually goes back to God's word, to Abraham, to Leviticus, to Deuteronomy. You want the law? You want the testimony? Here it is. And it points to our salvation by faith. Agree or disagree, my salvation is full and free.
To me, it's free.
To me, it's free, right? We get we're the recipients of it. Full for us, free for us. Great cost to him. Galatians 3, verse 13, be Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. Why does Paul mention this? Goes back to the Old Testament, and then it also goes to whom?
Christ.
Christ did take the curse. We were cursed. We did try by the law, and we were under a curse, right? The law condemns us because of our sin. How many people saw Jesus die? Yeah. Where did everybody go who was a faithful Jew during the Passover festival? Jerusalem. What day did you make your preparations and get everything ready so you could enjoy the Sabbath together? Friday. So if you're out of town, you're coming into town. You're going on that road in and out of Jerusalem, and lots of traffic. Tons of people saw Jesus die. Who was in charge of Jesus' crucifixion?
Romans.
God. Pilate thought he was in control. That's why he washed his hands, you know. You know, this is not me. But God was in control. Willingly gave himself up for me. Why did Jesus have to die on a cross? All your answers are correct. You know, to save us, to fulfill what God said in the Old Testament, you know, it had to be this way. But also, wasn't it because, you know, sometimes we feel cursed. We feel like God shouldn't love us. And we're right. But what did Jesus do? He took that curse. Right? You don't get to take that curse. You don't get to pay for your sins. You don't get any of that because of what Jesus did. We like the law. Our sinful nature wants us to either be pharisaical about it or despairing of it because we can't keep it perfectly, no matter our best efforts, and God demands perfection. We were under the curse, but Jesus became the curse for us. You are not cursed. You are forgiven. If you ever feel cursed, what will you remember? Became a curse for us. Jesus on the cross. The second article, what does this mean? Let's say it together. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. All this he did, that I should be his own, and live under him and his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death, and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. Kind of sound like what Paul's saying in Galatians 3? Yeah, exactly. Last verse here. Galatians 3, verse 14. We can read it together. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. What blessings were given to Abraham? We spoke them.
Father of many nations.
Abram to Abraham. Father of many nations. He was also the Savior would come through his line. He would have a son. How do we get them for us? Can we earn them? Can we figure out? No, by faith. Yeah, they're given to us. How can we be sure they are ours? Yeah. You know, when someone gives you something and you're not sure, you're like, you know, well, how much do I owe you? You know, what? No, I bought it for you. I want you to have it. Please take it. Galatians 3, verse 4, I will pour out my Spirit. You know, Joel, a Pentecost sermon that Peter references, he pours out his Spirit. Why is taking faith as something we do have part in out of place here? What's Paul's point? We're saved by what we do a little bit or what we conjure up or what we achieve? No. Even faith is a wonderful gift. Faith does not say, I have faith. Faith says, I have God. This is all about giving us certainty in our salvation. This is only by Christ's work and not ours, as we beautifully said in the explanation to the second article. Mary?
I just wanted to say that I really enjoy that little Bible that you gave us, or whoever bought them gave us.
The little catechisms?
Yeah.
I think that was Board of Adult Discipleship, I'm guessing, with Pastor Smith and John Ring. And
so nice. And I really like it because it's the King James Version. So I can go home now and I can listen to all of this in a language that I understand.
Oh, you remember. Oh, yeah, the audio Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are fun. And you put it on and you go, oh, yeah.
So cool.
And you know, our brains have an amazing ability. We listen to one thing and then we can tune out everything else that's said because we get thinking. But then all of a sudden it catches us back. Like a sermon, right? Where you zone out for a little bit, and then the pastor, you know, pauses to wipe his nose, or he forgets where he is, and he allows everybody else to get back in, you know, mentally. So it's good. God is good. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own. Let's close with the apostolic benediction. We'll say it together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.